Jesus starts out his ministry in Matthew's gospel performing miracles. And at the very beginning, we have Jesus performing some very, very simple signs of healing and reconciliation. But the big moment in the beginning of Jesus' miracle and ministry is as he is on the mountainside. He looks up and sees the people around him, and he begins to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, the humble, the peacemakers, those who hunger and thirst for justice and peace. These are the blessed ones. These are the ones who will be blessed in my Father's kingdom. These are the ones who will inherit the kingdom of God. And for 20 chapters then, Matthew has Jesus going from place to place, into homes and synagogues and street corners, and healing and teaching and preaching and proclaiming the good news. We might scratch our heads when we look at the Beatitudes and we say, you know, Jesus, what do the Beatitudes look like in real life? If we're going to do the Beatitudes, what does that look like in our day-to-day ministry, our day-to-day work, our day-to-day operation of being a Christian kind of person in the world today? And Jesus' answer is that the judgment day, at that last day, the great king will come down from heaven and separate men and women as sheep and goats. The sheep will be on the right side and the goats on the left. And he'll say to those who are the goats, he'll say that when I was hungry and thirsty and naked and homeless and afraid, you did not see to my needs. So therefore, you are condemned for all eternity. And they'll say, when did we see you, Lord? And he'll say, whenever you did to the least of my brothers or sisters, you did to me. And in the same way, he'll look at the sheep and say, when I was hungry and thirsty and tired and in prison and sick, when I was hurting or anxious, you saw to my needs. Whenever you do it to the least of your brothers or sisters, you do to me. Now you're welcome into the kingdom of heaven. And that sort of challenges us in our lives and in our ministry, challenges our response. How do we respond? How do we continue on that work, that mission and ministry of Jesus Christ? Jesus today has just heard of the death of his cousin and good friend, John the Baptist. He is filled with grief. And we see that grief in Jesus Christ at other times as well. When he looks at people and he's overwhelmed, he's disturbed, he finds himself saddened when he sees brokenness and hurt and pain. And he goes off by himself. He wants to spend some time by himself, but the crowds hear of this. And they come and they follow him. And he looks out across this vast throng of people, and his heart is moved with pity for them. In another gospel, we're told that they become like sheep without a shepherd. And he begins to teach them and heal them and cure their wounds. And the Bible is replete with stories like that. Stories of refugees and hungry, those who are oppressed, those who are dejected, so much like today. And these are people who are hurting. They have these intense needs, these intense pains that they bring to Jesus Christ. They bring to God the Father. And they find as they encounter and as they seek, as they search after the Lord, they find healing and peace in their lives. And we have these stories, so much in iniquity, but so much in today's life as well. We have people, men and women and children, who are exiled and offer a life of sadness and pain and sorrow. And Jesus shows us in the gospel that our God is a God of compassion, a God of love. A God who not only wants to respond to the physical needs of men and women, but the spiritual needs, to be sure, to build up and to strengthen, to bring healing into what has been wounded and where there is loss, where there is dejection, where people find themselves at odds with one another. Jesus is there to bring reconciliation and unity and communion amongst all men and women. The disciples want to send the crowds away. They're looking at sort of the logistics, if you will. Now, here we are, Jesus. We're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no Hy-Vees. There's no Jewel Oscars nearby. How are people here going to get food at all? And we need to send them away so they can go home and get what they need. And Jesus simply says to them, as he says to us as well, give them something yourselves to eat. You make sure that they are fed. And it's sort of like we see what Peter, remember the end of John's gospel? That the apostles are out fishing. And they're out there all night, and Jesus suddenly, after the resurrection, appears on the shore, and he yells out to them, "Have you guys caught anything?" "We've not caught anything at all." And Jesus says, "Well, put your net out on the other side." And they do so, and they haul in this huge amount of fish. And the gospel tells us that there are like 700 or a zillion fish or something like that. And they bring them to shore, and they're overwhelmed by the amount of fish. And Jesus, after they have breakfast, looks at Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Well, yeah, Jesus, you know I love you. Well, then, take care of my sheep." And he says that another time, "Peter, do you love me?" "Well, yeah, Jesus, you know that. You know all things. You know I love me. Take care of my lambs. Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter's getting a little bit nervous, and he finally says, "Tend to my flock." And reminds him that if he takes on this challenge of feeding and nurturing and tending, that life is not always going to be easy, that people are going to tie him up and take him away where he does not want to go. But that's the life of ministry. That's the life of taking on that challenge of the Beatitudes of feeding and nurturing and tending to and caring for, carrying on the mission and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus feeds us. He nurtures and nourishes us. He takes care of our needs. He watches over us. And the way he watches over us today is through a very tangible, concrete way, through the mission and ministry of our church, that we continue on by our baptismal promises and the promises that are made at confirmation time. We continue on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we also are with him on that hillside, and we look out upon our brothers and sisters in Christ, and hopefully connected to our Lord Jesus Christ, one with the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, that our hearts are also moved with pity, that our hearts are also moved with compassion and mercy as we share in the love and mercy of God in heaven through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we also look out and call to mind how we might respond to the needs and concerns of those around us. And that's that tangible love. That's the meeting the concrete needs of those around us. And the prophets talked about this as they looked at the people around them and they challenged the powers that be at that moment in time. The prophets saw a lot of folks not living by the covenant, and they saw a lot of injury and hurt and woundedness in the human family. A lot of times it was because selfishness and greed and envy and jealousy and all the hurt and pain that sometimes happens in the human family. The prophet said, "That's not right. This is not living by the covenant." And the prophets called people to live once again by these promises made to God, to us, the promises that we make to God, to live as a people of wholeness and holiness, bestowing God's love upon one another, particularly the poor and the anawim, the frightened and the afraid, those who are oppressed and abused, that we reach out to them, that we, as a people of God, we are the hands and instruments of our God. We continue to make sure that that people don't go home hungry, that people don't go home sad or hurt, but we, by our concern for them, we reach out to them, we embrace them. That as people particularly who come into the household of God, that this is a place of healing and peace, but it's also a place of receiving Jesus Christ. So we go out from this place full of love, full of compassion for one another, and we bestow the same love and the same kindness that we have received. The promises of God are not just about a physical homeland, but a new and spiritual kingdom, a place where we are not strangers with one another, but we are fellow sojourners, fellow travelers along the journey. And as fellow travelers, we struggle, to be sure, with the problems of hunger and homelessness and hurt and pain, that we are called to bring our gifts and our resources to the table, if you will, that all people might find food, they might find healing, they might find peace by the way that we share what we have received. Give them something yourself to eat, Jesus says. And that's a foreshadowing of what the church is all about. And as church, we minister and we mission to our brothers and sisters in the parish community and those outside of our parish boundaries as well. And through the use of water and oil and bread and wine, through our compassion and kindness, whatever resources that we bring to the table, we are fed and nourished here by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We go forth from this place. This is our springboard, if you will, to go forth from this place and to do church, to do ministry, to do the kingdom of God, to unfold God's love and God's mercy before one another. St. Paul reminds us today, he says, you know, this is an overwhelming task to be sure, that this is a challenge. There's no doubt about that. But he reminds us that we always have the love of God to uphold us. The love of God is always there to support us. So we don't have to be afraid in doing those things that are right. We're speaking those things that are true. We're standing up for justice and peace. We're feeding and nurturing and nourishing our brothers and sisters. And St. Paul reminds us, he says, you know, that of all the hardships and distress, that nothing takes us away from the love of God, neither famine or persecution, nakedness, the sword, nothing can separate us from that love. That through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have unity. We want to reflect that unity to one another. We want to reflect that at communion. And St. Paul goes on to say in another part of that same letter, he says, when we come to the table of the Lord, and when we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we receive Jesus himself. We receive the Lord who always resides in our hearts and our lives. So having Jesus within us and recognizing and realizing that we are all made in that sacred image and likeness of our God, that we can't allow things such as distress or hurt or injury to cause division among us. We always live as a body of Christ. We can't allow ourselves to, you know, poke each other in the eye or somehow flick people off the earth because we don't like them or don't care for them. We embrace one another with that same compassion and kindness that Christ has for each and every one of us. And when we don't think we're able to do the job, when we don't think we are able to do the ministry, we look back at what Jesus says to the apostles today who approach him. We only have a few loaves of bread, only a few fish. And when we account in our own lives, when we say, I only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looks into our hearts, he looks into our lives, and says, I'll bless them, I'll multiply them. You just bring them to the table. Jesus shows us that the gifts that we have are enough to feed multitudes, that there is enough, Jesus says. I'll show you how it's done. I'll bless what you bring to my table, to my presence. And centuries later, not only does he feed us, but he helps us understand how we might feed one another as well. That we bring to the Lord all that we can, and the Lord continues to strengthen us and encourage us that we go forth into the crowds, just as the apostles did today, and we make sure that everyone has enough to eat, and return thousands upon thousands who are hungry, not just physically, but spiritually as well, can be fed and strengthened and find solace in the Lord. In every corner of the earth, that we get over our fear and anxiety and allow God's faithfulness for us and our faithfulness for the love of God to bring one another to the safety of God's kingdom. Truly, he satisfies us of bread of finest wheat by his own body and blood that we share with one another.